a very special guest with me today, Big Bro, Avita Keezy. Just want to welcome you to the Go Terpers with Travis Garrison on the Fearless State Networks. Man, it's been a long time, bro, since we last talked, man. How's everything going?
Well, we thank God, man. We're doing great. Like you said, it's been a really long time. But we thank God we're all still alive. And despite the pandemic, everybody's still looking good and healthy. So we just got to thank God for that.
Absolutely, 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 man. I'm grateful that you took time out your busy schedule, man, and to join the podcast, you know, to catch me up, catch everybody else up that want to hear from you about everything that's going on in your life and what you've been up to since you left College Park.
Yeah, man, this is really exciting, man. It's like coming home, you know. I've just been, Maryland's always going to be home for me. So, you know, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this show and, you know, talking to our base, you know, once a Terrapin, always a Terrapin. So I'm sure I've kind of been out of sight for a little while with the people, and but it's really exciting to be able to connect.
Absolutely, absolutely, man. Like I said, I know a lot of people want to hear from you, man. They want to hit, you know, the fans, man. They love their Terps, man. So like you said, yeah. Once a Terp, always a Terp. They always want to know what's going on, how you guys been. So I'm just trying to help facilitate that.
Yeah, that's exciting, man. Happy to hear that you're doing this kind of show, man. It's really exciting.
Hey, I'm not going to lie, man. I've been enjoying it myself because, you know, obviously playing that murder myself. But, you know, just to hear some of the guys' stories, the guys that came before me, you know, how the program was, how things were going when they were there, their whole experiences. It's been pretty cool for me, man. I've been enjoying it.
That was great.
Hey, have you had a chance to make keeping up with the Terps lately, like this past year or last couple of seasons?
To be honest, I haven't. I've been watching more of the NBA. With the league pass, I'm able to just, you know, log any time of the night and just catch a game or do something. But, you know, with college basketball, you really got to look out, you know, like maybe on ESPN, you know, catch a game where Maryland is playing. But it's not that common here to catch. And ESPN just, I think it just came back this year or earlier this year into our cable system or the satellite system here. They were on for a few years, but they went off. And they just came back. So I've not been able to catch up on Maryland basketball as much as I would like.
Yeah, because you where right now? Where are you right now? Let everybody know where you are.
I'm in Lagos, Nigeria. So I've been here. I moved back since 2007. So I've been in Nigeria for the past 14 years.
Wow. Yeah, like you said, man, I'm pretty sure that the time change, the schedule, what time they come on, opposed to what time you can watch
exactly.
The game. You know, them
exactly.
Have access. Yeah.
I usually wake up around 2-3 in the morning. And then catch an hour or so of an NBA game, you know. So I'm subscribed to the NBA League Pass. So I just watch that for about 2 hours and then I go back to sleep. But if Maryland was playing like on ESPN or something like that, I'd definitely try to catch it. But it's not very common to catch the games.
Okay. Now, quick question. Let's jump right into it, bro. So what made you choose College Park? What made you choose to go to Maryland?
Oh, man, the first time I saw Maryland, I came into Maryland, I just fell in love with the campus, man. I love the campus. And then my uncle is a medical doctor that lives in Maryland. So that was my connection to Maryland. And then when I came in, and I remember the first time I came to Maryland, they were playing pickup, like a summertime. It was Johnny Rhodes, Joe Smith, X-Ray Hip, all those guys, they were balling. And I just came in, I was a recruit, and I was like, man, these guys are serious. So, you know, from then on, I just kind of fell in love with the program. And then what also made it really easy for me was that Maryland had the academic programs, the majors I wanted to study, like which was mechanical engineering and business. So, yeah, it was a perfect fit for me.
Right. So would you consider any other schools, or Maryland was just like the only option?
No, there are many other schools. There was George Washington that really chased. I mean, they were really, actually really upset when I signed with Maryland because they had been recruiting me really hard. There was University of Connecticut. I remember I went to visit. It was Ray Allen that took me around with those guys, Kevin Ollie and those guys. Yeah. Well, it was also University of Miami, but I ended up not taking the visit because I was tired of going to different schools. And there was Rice University because my dad is oil and gas. Business, and so he wanted to take a look at the school in Houston. So there were different schools, but I just narrowed it down to Maryland, George Washington, Connecticut, and then Rice University. Those are the four visits I took. And then I already knew that I was going to go to Maryland on one side, but I just wanted to take those visits just to get the experience.
Right. Yeah, man, that's awesome, man. So what was it like? You said you walked in the gym, man. Your first open gym, you had, you said Prophet, you had Johnny Rose. Who else you had there, man?
So that year, you know, we were all freshmen. Me and Prophet and Brian Watkins, we were all the same year, and Terrell Stokes. But the year before us, obviously, was like, you know, this guy that was there before us, like Johnny Rose, X-Ray Hip, Lucas, Mario Lucas, and Joe Smith. Those guys were, I think, they were playing in summertime, and they had some other guys in the area. Well, you know, Maryland, D.C. area, everybody came to Maryland to play ball during the summertime. Yeah. And then you had the Wizards, some of the Wizards players there too, like I think with Rasheed Wallace. This guy, man, it was serious, you know. So you go in there, you know, you're going against one of the best players in the country. So it was really, really fun. I loved the competition. So for me, I just fell in love with the place. And then, it was that experience just told me that I need to be in Maryland if I want to get better.
Right, absolutely. I heard so many stories about those runs up there at Maryland, man, especially during the summertime. I mean, they used to come up there when I was there during the summertime, man, where the runs was crazy. You had, like you said, you had the league guys coming in. Whoever was in town at the time, whoever was in town that summer, they them pickup games used to be legendary, man.
Yeah, the gym called, you know, we played in the Cofields. I think you guys, you play at the new Comcast Arena or you play the Cofields?
Yeah. So my freshman year was the first year that Comcast opened up. So I didn't have a chance.
You guys are the brand new kids, man. We played in the Cofields and we had a gym called the old gym. And then we had another gym that we used to play in the summertime. It was on the other side of campus. I forgot the name of that gym. It was a gym that was like 2 courts. It was hot. It was a hot gym. Where they build the swimming pool, like the big swimming pool and the big like sports center. Right. You know, where they had all the big. So that was close to that place. And man, summertime, that place was serious. I mean, everybody from DC, Virginia, you know, Maryland. You know, even the local players, then the professional players, and then the Maryland players. I mean, it was serious. I mean, you would play balling like for like 2 months straight in a hot ass gym, man. So that really got me better.
Man, like I said, man, I still hear stories all the time about how those games were, man, and how tense they were. But like you said, it's preparing you for, you know, the upcoming season. Then you played against pros and, you know, all those elite players, man. I mean, you got no choice but to get better.
Those guys, Chris Webber used to come ball with us. You know, man, the Wizards played Ross Strickland. These guys were coming. They used to come in there and just, you know, I mean, if you're going against those guys, man, it's summertime and you are able to hold your own. You know, you get ready. You know, so it was tremendous. Yeah.
So how was your freshman year, man, making that transition from high school to college, especially playing at College Park, back in the ACC, man, when it was super tough, man? So how was that experience for you?
It was a serious experience because if you weren't getting in good condition, it was different because, you know, you're playing in high school. So when you're now coming to the college level, it's different, you know, different level of conditioning. So that was – I remember our training camp, our conditioning was – it was crazy. I mean, I almost – running like 1,800, 1,100-yard sprints. It was like some different level type of conditioning. So the freshman year was pretty good. I mean, I wasn't really expected to do much because I really had like 2 years of organized basketball experience, coaching experience. Because first time I ever got coached playing basketball was when I was 18, when I got to Worcester Academy in Massachusetts. So I spent 2 years there and, you know, got better every year. And that's why Maryland was recruiting me. And by the time I got to Maryland, I mean, I was improving every year. So my freshman year was like an experience for me. I was thrown right into the fire because Joe Smith had just left. So I was replacing the number one pick in the draft. So the pressure was crazy. A lot, you know, I'm going. But I just, you know, put my head down, worked hard every day. I tried to get better. And the results showed I just improved every game, every year. And that's how I was able to make it to the NBA by the time I was a senior.
Right. And I think the year I watched, because y'all made it to the Sweet 16 one of your years there, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we made it to the Sweet 16 every year after my I think we made it to the Sweet 16 we didn't make it to the Sweet 16 my freshman year. We lost to Arizona. I never forget Tempe, Arizona. We lost to Steve Nash's team.
Wow.
Steve Nash's team beat us. Sorry.
Yeah.
Steve Nash's team. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Steve Nash's team beat us at the I think it was the second round of the tournament.
Right.
In my freshman year. But after that, made it 16 every year after that.
Wow. Well, yeah, y'all team was loaded too, bro. Because what year was Steve on the team with you? What year was that? That was 90.
That was my junior year. That was my amen. That was my senior year that Steve came in. Yeah.
Wow, man. What was some of your best memories there, man? Like, what were some of those games? Obviously, you know, you got the Duke games. But what were some of those legendary games that you was like, man, I can't wait for this? But I know back then ACC was always tough, man.
Yeah. ACC was a different level, man. You're talking about North Carolina, Duke, Wake Forest. Wake Forest had and Tim Duncan, you know. And he was that is the best player I ever played against in my life. I'm gonna tell you, in my position, that guy was unreal. Yeah. Then you had North Carolina, Vince Carter, Antoine Jameson, and Shimon Williams. I mean, the whole starting five made the NBA. You know, then you had Duke with Elton Brand, Corey McGetty, Wojowski. I mean, the teams were loaded, man. So it was really tough, you know, every night. And it was such a wonderful experience, because I remember anytime any of Duke or North Carolina game was like a festival at Maryland. It was crazy, because those tickets were the hardest tickets to come by, and you literally were seeing students sleeping outside of Coffee House like 2 days before the games just to get tickets. It was like a big party, man, when those games came about. So we were always super hyped for those two games, Duke and Maryland, Duke and North Carolina.
Right, and I used to remember that, man. I went to a couple of games when I was going to my senior year when I was in high school. So I experienced that Coldfield House environment and probably like as a fan, super hot in there, super hot. But the fans is like right there on you. The crowd was crazy, man. It was like a great atmosphere of playing, you know. Hello.
Say that again, please.
Yeah, I experienced that cold field environment, man. When the big games like the Duke games, I was at one of them for sure, and how crazy it was, and you know, people trying to buy tickets outside for a crazy amount of prices, just to get that experience.
Yeah, man, it was an unbelievable experience. That place was so loud, it was crazy when we played North Carolina or Duke. Right. It was so loud. You couldn't even hear yourself during the games. It was that loud, you know. So, but, you know, it was really exciting. It was really, I mean, obviously we wanted to play our best. We didn't want to win those games. And I think we held our own against those two teams, especially playing at home.
Right. What was it like for you? What was your experience like playing for G-Dub, man?
You always ask me that. G-Dub was the most intense. The most intense coach I ever played for, man. I always give him credit, because GW was trying to get the best out of his players. That was the best thing I could say. He just wanted you to maximize your potential. Right. And I can say that GW got every ounce of what I had from my potential at Maryland. So that's all you can really ask for. Because, yes, was he very animated and, you know, very intense? Yes. Right. But it was good, because I think that any day, We also played at a very intense level, and even the way we played was very exciting. Even though we had the sideline 55, the pressure defense, right. and all of that stuff. And I mean, we played a fast-paced game, and so it was really exciting to watch, you know, from a fan perspective.
So, but he didn't really have to do a whole bunch of coaching with you guys, man, because you guys are very experienced, man. A lot of leaders on the team. So I'm pretty sure, I mean, obviously he's going to coach it, but he didn't have to do a lot of hands-on probably because the guys y'all had on the team at the time.
Well, you know, from when you come in, because most of the guys spend 4 years, aside from Joe that left after his sophomore year, but most of the guys spend 4 years at Maryland,
right,
or at least 3 years. Yeah, most of them spend 4 years. So you always had veterans on the team. So when I came in, it was Johnny Rose. It was Keith Booth that were the leaders of the team. So, I mean, you learn from them. You know, you learn from them. And those guys are very, very solid players. I'm very, very good player. So you pick up and they get you to understand how well you had to play, how well you had to prepare. You know, right. Our summertime runs were legendary. We worked hard, you know, to get better. And in the games, we expect to win. You know, there's no game went into saying we couldn't win. You know, we went to every game expecting to win. And that's what G-Dub, you know, made sure we understood. So there was no like saying, oh, we can't beat North Carolina, we can't beat Duke, or we can't beat. We went in there trying to get them all the time, or trying to beat them. So right. That's what we prepared, yeah.
What were y'all practices like? You know, G-Dub don't believe in a lot of running, man. Our runs came in through 505s, like playing, He believe in, you know, running and doing all that sprints
We did the running, like, preseason, getting in condition and all that kind of stuff. But when it came to practice, more like you said, like, 5-on-5, you know, drills, like, you know, more team-related drills and all that kind of stuff. And then maybe once in a while after practice, you get on again, run something. Maybe if you mess up or something like that, you get online, you know. But it wasn't like it was in that good condition. Another condition that we did was before the was like before practice started.
Right. Yeah. So, man, you had your 4 years at Maryland, man. Then you getting ready for the draft, man. What was that process like for you?
Say it again, please.
I said, what was that process like for you? Now, you did your 4 years at Maryland, man. Had a very good career there. Now you're getting ready for the NBA. How was that process for you? And, like where were you, like, did you expect to go high? Like, what was that whole experience for you?
Well, unfortunately for me, you know, I was played to be one of the top picks in the draft, but I tore my Achilles tendon my senior year, like right at the end of my career. That was around February 9th. I never forget that date. You know, I tore my Achilles tendon, like we were preparing for going to play North Carolina State, and coach was pissed off at the way we were practicing. I really been having some discomfort in my Achilles, my lower Achilles. I used to have like, I found that I was heavily flat. I was flat footed. I probably needed some orthotics. Mm. But you know, at that time we're young, and then every morning I remember before the morning my would be sore. You know, it took a little while to get walk.
Yeah,
like that. But that little in the practice of the locker room, and then I decided to just get everybody to go back. Let's go get good practice before we go get because we're flying that night to North Carolina.
Right.
So I just want to go get, and then the first move I made, Bob, she just gave, you know, and that was the end of my college career there. So it was really unfortunate. I think we had a very strong team that year with Steve Francis and those guys. I felt we could have made it to the Final Four that year. But, so it was unfortunate. But anyway, you know, I ended up being drafted in the second round with the injury. I didn't have any workouts, you know, with the NBA team. So, in fact, I was even drafted in the second round. Sure, that I was in pretty good position to be drafted high. So, but when I look back at it, I was really appreciative of the opportunity I had at Maryland, and I think I maximized my potential there.
But yeah, man. I mean, that's like you said, man. That's very fortunate. You said you have no workouts, tore your ACL, man, and you still, like you said, went.
No, my Achilles, my Achilles.
Oh, your Achilles. Oh yeah. Man, yeah. So. Just still even to get drafted without any workouts, man. Like you said, it spoke to how the expectations that the scouts and the teams had for you and what they thought about you, man. So that's awesome, yes. Man. So
yes, it was great.
So what was that NBA experience like, man? You know, like that whole rookie year, I mean, like you said, we talked about the transition from high school to college. Now you're talking about from college to the NBA. And, you know, that's when back then, man, the NBA was what it was, you know. So what was that experience like for you coming in as a rookie and then that whole your whole experience, man, the NBA experience?
It was a great experience, but the fact was that I came into the NBA off an injury. Achilles injury is a serious injury. So I was a little bit behind, you know, but I tried to make up, you know, try during the year to get better shape, get stronger, with get a leg, my low calf muscle to be stronger. Right. But you do lose a little bit of muscle in your lower leg, a little bit of atrophy in your right leg. So it took a while for me to build up my strength back. But I think my NBA career, unfortunately, that I mean, making the NBA is a great feat, but I felt like I could have done had a better career if I didn't many injuries. So right. The Achilles was the first one, then I, you know, was able to play a few years, and later on I got to the Atlanta Hawks like my fourth year, and then I tore my ACL. So and that was the best shape of my life, leading the team in scoring and rebounding at that time. So and when I look back at it, it was cut short a little bit, but injuries, but. Yeah, with everything that happens in life, you have to take it like that. And to be quite honest, if I had a more solid NBA career, I probably would never back in everything. Thank you for the experiences. And I'm actually really quite glad I was able to come back. And I have a wonderful family. I have a wife here with four children. I've built a very successful business. I'm building another business now. And so life has been good.
Man, that's very, like you said, that's awesome, man. Like you said, man, unfortunately, sometimes things happen in our lives for reasons that we may not even understand at the time. Yeah. Now you say you're back home, man, and you're doing great things there. So talk a little bit about that, about what you have going on now. I know you have an academy going on right now, right?
Yeah, so my dream, especially when I had that ACL injury in Atlanta, it really gave me a lot of time to reflect on what I really want to do, you know, post my basketball career. Because at that time, I actually felt the vulnerability of an athlete, knowing that this thing can end at any time. And being in the best shape of my life, I really didn't believe I could get injured, and I know how hard I worked to even get in that kind of shape, you know. So, but I used that time to rehab and also to think about, you know, what I want to do in Nigeria. And I came back to Nigeria at that time, did a camp in my hometown. And, you know, there was so much interest in basketball, but we didn't have the facilities. We didn't have the facilities. We didn't have the programming for grassroots basketball development. So my dream was always to build something like this, build a world-class, you know, basketball academy, and also build up so the programming that is required, you know. You guys in the U.S., you're so fortunate. You have the middle school, high school programs, and then the high school feeds into the college programs. You have the high school leagues that are very, very successful. Then you have the college basketball that is extremely successful, and then get the NBA ranks and all that. And then with the G League that is now successful. So all these platforms enable players to not only improve their basketball skills, but get an education while at it, and also set up the rest of their lives. So that's what I want to do here with this platform, with this infrastructure. And instead of building the consistent programming, partnering with other high schools in the area to set up a high school league, setting up an AU format type of summer program, you know, then the other holidays, having holiday program, holiday camps, all these things are what we need here to develop kids at a younger age, and they give them the opportunity to actually come over to the U.S. if they're good enough to earn a scholarship and play basketball. And then, from then on, if they'll be able to make it to the NBA or WNBA, that's even better. But at least the opportunity with the physical ability they have here in Nigeria and Africa, at least to get a good scholarship is realistic. So that's what we're trying to achieve for these kids.
Man, that's awesome, man. That's great, man, for somebody that has so many experiences like you, you know, playing on the highest level in college, then the highest level in regards to the NBA, then to be able to come back and basically teach the younger guys that look up to you about life and trying to give them opportunities. If people want to find out more information about this, where can they go?
So you can go to obnacademy.com, obnacademy.com. We have our website there. We're launching different programs, after-school programs. We're actually working on our virtual program now because, you know, I have a lot of experience in technology. Mm-hmm. You know, I came from the travel industry. I use a lot of technology and online platforms. So we're launching our virtual camps, which allows kids from all over Nigeria, all over Africa, to subscribe to our online program, and they can practice with us at home, especially if they cannot, especially after school. We really want to inculcate basketball as part of the curriculum for these kids' education in Nigeria. So we can't just do it only in our physical location here. We also want to use technology from use a virtual platform to be able to allow these kids to subscribe. And that's how I even learned basketball. I learned basketball by watching Akeem Olajuwon on satellite TV, and then told my dad to get me a basket in the house and the ball. And that's how I learned. I was watching Akeem and trying to emulate his moves in the backyard. So we want to establish this kind of program where we can have our own coaches here. We should be coaching these kids on the skills, passing, shooting, dribbling, all of those things at home while they cannot be here physically with us. So I think that's going to be huge.
Now, absolutely, man. That sounds that sounds great, man. What you're doing, like I said, man, it's inspiring me to keep going, trying to do things I'm doing. Like I said, man, anything I can do to help, and you know, obviously, other people going to probably reach out and you know see how they can help. Anything you need from me, big bro, man, I definitely appreciate everything that you did for me. You know, I remember coming up to campus before I got there, man, and playing pickup with you guys, and then you know, you pulling me to the side and you know, giving me advice and you know, tell me what I need to work on and how to improve, man. So I definitely appreciate all the help that you gave me throughout my career. And I'm pretty sure a lot of other people do too, man.
Thank you so much, man. I mean, everybody, we always got to help each other. Now, I was helped also coming in. So I mean, we always have to pass on that knowledge to the younger ones coming in. That's what we're doing here, you know, and passing this knowledge about what is possible, what their vision, what they could achieve in their lives. They put in the hard work. And that's all we're trying to do here, just, you know, get these kids to see an opportunity. You can imagine if we can get kids coming out of here, going to college, earning a college degree, and possibly playing the NBA. I mean, you know how much NBA players are earning these days. Every salary in the NBA is just through the roof. And so you can imagine a 10-year-old kid now starting with us, and maybe in like 10 years from now, he's being drafted in the NBA. You know, what impact that could have on just not his family, but on the society in general. So we just have to do the work and look at it from a long-term perspective, and by God's grace, keep healthy and be alive and to see the bed, the fruits of our labor. So I'm really excited about what we're doing here.
Man, that's like I said, man, that's that's huge, man. I know it's going to all pay off, man. I know it's going to work out because, you know, like, you know, us as competitors and athletes, man, we understand the process. We will keep pushing until we become successful, until whatever we're doing is a success, or we're going to at least try our very best to make it happen.
Okay, then I want to extend an invitation to all my guys. You know, this is a great platform. I've not been in contact with all my guys. I'm listening to them and listening. I'm talking about coaches. My guys that play basketball, they're coaching. We're doing a big summer tournament this summer. It's called the OBN Hoop Summit. Those are the ones I always had a plan to come to Nigeria. This is an opportunity for them to come. They can contact me on LinkedIn or contact me at obina@obnacademy.com. They can send me an email. If they want to come and participate in what we're doing or just come and watch, if they're into coaching in the high school level or college level, want to come and scout players out here, please feel free to reach out to me. We extend the invitation, help them with the whole visa processing. And they come out here. They'll be between the months of July and August. And so they come and spend a few weeks here with us and really enjoy it. It's great.
Oh man, yeah, that's awesome, man. Like I said, I know we're gonna be in talks for sure. And I'm pretty sure a lot of other guys, man, you know, former players, coaches, that would love to have an opportunity to help you. Even probably some of the, you know, the fans or boosters at Maryland, man, would probably love to help and, you know, try to be of some assistance if possible.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. I'd love to have you guys down here, man. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to take you up on that offer for real, man. But I definitely appreciate you taking time out your day, man. Like I said, I know you're a busy man. Yeah. I appreciate you, you know, stopping by, man, and giving everybody an update of what's going on with you and, you know, and talk a little bit about your experiences at Maryland. I appreciate you for joining the Go Terpins with Travis Garrison on the Field of 68 Networks. My big bro, Obina Akeezy. I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you, man. Great job you're doing, man. You're looking good, too, man. Look like you see ball a little bit.
Hey, looks can be deceiving, man, you know, but looks can be deceiving, bro.
Them knees ain't the same no more, man. Them knees are the same.
Oh, man, look here. Hey, my body, hey, I respect my body. Told me a little while ago that it's open. I appreciate it, man. I'm telling you, man.
We can only show them what we used to do. We can't do it no more. That's all.
Hey, we tell them about it, you know, go super slow. You know, everyone knows.
Yeah, exactly.
But now I appreciate you, bro, man. Love to
thank
the
you, man.
Stay safe, bro. We definitely going to stay in touch, man. Again, I appreciate you, brother.
Okay, man. Take care, man. Nice having me. Nice for you to have me in the show, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.